I guess at the end of the day, it's like, don't prevent yourself from experiencing anything. Like when it comes down to like, you'd rather stay home for a weekend or go out, even as small as you'd rather stay in for a night or go out with a group of friends. You know, if you're young and healthy, go out with a group of friends. And if, you know, you get invited on a trip and it's an affordable thing, but it's out of your comfort zone, just do it. I would have never gone to Egypt a day in my life, but it just so happened it stumbled upon me and I was like, all right. And it was the coolest trip I ever been on. And like the stuff with, you know, sneaking in, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to sneak into stuff, but never like be afraid to do something that makes you uncomfortable, because it could end up to be something really cool. Whether that's even going to a game, like, or anything, talking to someone, whatever that is, just do it.
Today we have a very, very special guest on the pod, friend of the pod, and two-time Stanley Cup champion, Timmy King.
How are you?
Timmy, thanks for coming on today.
No problem.
A long time coming. We've known you for quite a long time at this point. And figured, you know, with the NHL finals, the Stanley Cup finals going on right now, and the NBA finals going on, it was a perfect time to bring you in and talk some shop.
Thank you both for having me. I love the setup. I love it. Let's go.
Go Celtics, baby.
Go Celtics all day.
How we doing? You watching a bunch of games recently from the comfort of your own home?
Yeah, I haven't been going to many. Just been enjoying the Celtics games wherever, whether it be home or the Kowloon and Saugus, or NHL games. I've just kind of been watching at home.
Were you hot on like picking NHL teams this year? Because I remember last year you were seeing the playoffs the script.
So 2 years ago, I think I was really good at it. And then last year, I was okay at it. And then this year, it has been definitely different. I did a bracket and everything, and I've been kind of watching it. The one pick I had right was, and keep in mind, I'm a Lightning fan, but I had Florida was going to win the Cup. And I still think they are. There's no doubt. They just have the best goalie.
They're up 2-0.
Yeah, they're up 2-0. As much as I hate to say it, I don't like Bobrovsky, but he's the best goalie in the league maybe right now, or at least the hottest goalie in the league.
No, I think they're the best team, unfortunately. I mean, they did a number on the Bruins, did a number on the Rangers, and you know, now they're here dismantling probably the best duo hockey scene in years. Yeah. So.
And making them play completely different. Night one, they shot, 36 shots. Last night, I don't know, 11, 12. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they're trying everything against them, and they can't get anything done.
I can't believe how many shots, not even just the number of shots they're getting up, but like the amount of shots they're limiting other teams to.
It's crazy. But they've been battle tested. Like they've had good playoff runs, and they've shown signs of like, we're going to get a cup in the next, 3 years. And now they're here, and now they're probably going to get it. Oilers are good. Worst goaltending in the league probably, though. Not right now. He's playing hotter. They've been playing this playoffs a little differently, but I'm not anti-Oilers, but keep the cup in the U.S. and I'm happy. So yeah, I guess go Panthers, as much as it hurts to say.
Yeah, I think I'm still rooting for Edmonton. I got a nice little future on them.
Nice comeback. Hey, yeah, you never know. It's the playoffs.
Series doesn't start until the home team loses.
Fair enough. Take one game and you never know.
I hope that doesn't happen for the Celtics. So.
No.
Yeah, except in basketball.
Yeah, basketball's a different sport.
But how does this like NHL playoffs kind of compare to, you know, your other experiences with it? Like which what like years kind of really resonated with you?
2019 definitely, because the cup situation, which I'm sure we'll get into, and the Bruins were in it, so the local crowd was all over the place, and that's always exciting when you get a game 7 at home, and a final series at home in general is always, you know, you can't beat it. 2020 was awesome for me, only because, you know, the Lightning and the cup situation again, which, like I said, we'll get into, but it kind of stunk being in the bubble. I was watching every single game from home. I remember I was doing online school and watching the games at the same time, and it's just no fans or limited fans when it was in the U.S., and it's just not the same, really. I honestly, as much as it hurts me to say, one of the best playoff series I've watched was Avalanche versus Lightning when the Avs won in 6. It stunk, obviously, but that playoffs altogether was really good. This playoffs has been good, though. The Lightning kind of rolled over and died in the first series, but the Bruins played a great 7-game series versus the Leafs, and then you know, they lost to the Panthers, obviously, but they stayed in it as best they could. And the West has been pretty good. I liked watching Dallas. Obviously, they're gone now, but I'm sure. I hope the finals get more interesting. That's all I can hope for.
How'd you become a Lightning fan?
I just kind of always liked them. Then I had some neighbors move up from Tampa, and I used to be back and forth from Florida. And then, so my neighbors, I forget what year, probably 2014, 2015, and we ended up just, you know, becoming friends, and we would watch, and it was like major age gaps. Like, me and my brother were friends with my neighbor and his kids, and we were kind of cooler, and we would just watch all the games and kind of rolled with it. And then it kind of worked to my advantage where, you know, they became relevant in 2016, I think. No, 2017 maybe. Whenever Chicago won, they were in the finals that year. And then obviously 2020, 2021, and then they lost in 2022, but that was still an awesome year. And it's always fun to fall in love with a good goalie, especially when he's hot. Vasilevskiy, best goalie in the league still.
You just, I don't know. You just said someone else. You said Bobrovsky.
Hottest goalie in the league, okay, Bobrovsky. Okay. But all right. I think Vasi still got him. I don't know.
What do you think? Like, speaking of goalies, we've been doing a lot of talk about that. What do the Bruins need to do about Swayman and Ullmark?
Dish
Ullmark?
Yeah, I guess looking now, you should have got rid of Ullmark last year probably when he's off the – he won the Vezina right here last year, right?
I think so.
He won something.
Yeah.
And then got rid of him then, obviously, because he was arguably the hottest goalie in the East. He probably was. And then got rid of him then and got some value. I don't think right now you'll get the value for him you need, but I think you got to stick with Swayman. He's younger. He's either on par or better. And you obviously want to save money with the younger guy and look towards the future with him and build around him. That's just my opinion.
It also seems like, I mean, he's just like, he really likes to be here in Boston.
Yeah, he does, and so does Ullmark, and you can tell, like, he wants Ullmark to stay. Like, I forget, mid-year, like, there was questions about that, and he was pretty public about wanting Ullmark to stay, and, like, they're obviously good friends, but business is business. I get it's a sport, and you're friends with your teammates, but it's also a business, so.
Goalie must be such a hard, like, position, kind of, to be friends with the other, with your counterpart in hockey.
Yeah.
Because if you're playing shitty and you get pulled, you know, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you don't want to be, you know, I feel like you wouldn't want to be buddy-buddy with the guy who your team is saying is better than you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know that Swayman was very happy when the Bruins decided to keep Ullmark at the trade deadline, and, you know, wish him the best.
I think on the counterpart, though, it's, like, nice to be able to have that guy when, like, you're not playing well, because inevitably that's going to happen, mm-hmm, especially in that position that you know is, like, going to be, like, so solid that comes in, and then, you know, vice versa. You know, you're always ready, and you know that you have their back, so.
I think it depends on the time of year and the team, because during the season they were obviously buddy-buddy, but then when playoffs came, you could tell in Swayman's interviews, he was like, I'm excited, I'm starting, it's finally my turn, whatever, and you could tell that's when kind of tensions get a little high.
It also, like, shows where it's like you got to step up, because mm-hmm, it's like the next guy's up and, like, they're ready to put him in because he's, you know, just as good, if not better than you on any night. So you got to, like, bring your A game, bring your best game, and, you know, it's a kind of a competition back and forth, which is cool.
And last year they messed up in the playoffs. I forget exactly what they did. I don't know if they switched off every game or
that's what it was. Yeah.
What it was, yeah. And they obviously tried something different this year, which worked better. Like, last year was a catastrophe, so.
It was so fun watching the Bruins in the playoffs this year. Like, I went to so many games. I went to game one of the first series against the Leafs, and then I ended up going up to Toronto for game four with, shout out Corey Castagnetti, another friend of the podcast. We shot up there for game four, and then I came back here and saw him close it out in game five, and then I went to two games in the series against Florida. So it was great to see a lot of playoff hockey, but Swayman, before every game, like, even in the elimination games, he was, like, out there on the ice, mm-hmm, he was smiling, he was dancing with his skates going back and forth, but he really looks confident in there, and he's only 24 years old.
And he's
old,
enjoying himself.
So, I mean, as long as he's having fun and he's a stud like that, I want him to be our goalie.
And
but,
the big thing is he was able to keep his composure in the playoffs, which shows a lot. That's what you need. So, mm-hmm,
the Bruins have been really blessed, like, the last probably, I guess, like, 15 years, I'd say, between Tim Thomas, Tuukka Rask, and then transitioning right into Ullmark and Swayman. But we've had good goaltending, if nothing else. So
what is, like Swayman's 24. Like, what's the average age to, like, enter the NHL, like, to play?
I think 22? It really, well, probably, like, 22. I mean, because you see these guys. I think it depends. Because like the best guys, you know, like the entire first round, especially if they're from overseas, like they're basically coming up and they're playing right away. And then playing when they're, you know, 18. That's what McDavid did, what Bedard did, what Ovechkin did, what Crosby did. Like, all these big names that you, like, come up as big names, they're never really busts in the NHL, yeah. Which I find pretty interesting. Like, the guys you know who are good, like, they've had eyes on them since they were 13, 14 years old in, like, these younger circuits. And then especially playing for, you know, the national teams and the World Junior Championships. But, I mean, I'd probably say... probably like the average age is probably 20, because I mean the guys who are coming guys come out of junior hockey when they're 21, or you know, college, they're declaring. Mm-hmm. College guys are a little older though,
so yeah, it depends obviously
how hockey's you approach just, hockey's it. Just weird because there's so many like avenues.
It's completely different because there's so many ways to get in. I wouldn't say it's over 23, it's mm-hmm. just between 18 and 23.
So it's similar to basketball probably, right? Because
yeah multiple ways to get in, like, it just depends what you do.
Yeah, I feel like basketball too nowadays, it's like hockey where you're getting so many European and like so many people from around the world. The French are
going to take over.
The French are crazy.
There's another one of those not as, you know, sought after. Or
no, there's like top 10 picks. There's going to be two guys from Europe, three.
Like, they're built like Wemby. And it's,
I know. It's.
I
love watching Wemby, dude.
Yeah? Did you watch a bunch of Spurs this year?
No, I didn't go out of my way to, but just watching any game when you're tuning in and he's on, it's like watching. I you can't compare him to anyone. The closest you can get is KD, and it's night and day the difference.
It's not even, yeah.
It was honestly like hard to avoid him though, because he was just on every single highlight reel mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. But
he deserved it.
It'll be cool to see how he develops too. Yeah, just like if I mean he didn't get injured. Like
without
this
injury,
year.
He's like, he's gonna be
Yeah, so that was. Yeah. That's cool.
Speaking of like KD real quick before we get into everything else, you know, he's always been a notorious Twitter guy, but somebody tweeted out the other day and they were like, hey, like the only way KD can save his reputation is if he goes back to OKC and wins a championship LeBron style, like God will forgive his sins. And then he tweeted back at the guy and he goes, you ain't God, pal, go get ready for work.
He did it twice, dude. He said something to, was it Kendrick Perkins?
Maybe. I didn't see that part.
Kendrick Perkins said something, and there was a similar thing where it was about God, and KD also said to him, you're not God. Like, I mean, I'm a KD guy. KD's my favorite basketball player, so I think, I mean, obviously the Golden State stuff everyone doesn't like, and I get it, but he was a big reason they won two championships, and I think if he had two more rings, he'd have a lot more respect.
I got to see him play this year in person. Which was just cool, like to
he's mesmerizing.
The first time I've ever seen him play in person, and just like watching him out there. I mean, he's not anywhere like he was at OKC or even Golden State, but mm-hmm. like, I mean, just seeing him and like Chris Paul too play mm-hmm. together was pretty cool.
I got a picture with KD, and it looks like, and this is the only way I can describe it. It looks like I'm taking a picture with a player from 2K, like animated. Like he actually looks animated. It's crazy.
Who are some of your favorite like athletes that you've gotten to meet, take pictures with, whatever?
My favorite athlete that I like that I've met probably has to be KD. I know it kind of just went into that, but probably that's probably my favorite picture. I mean, I've met like Tatum. I met most of the Celtics. I haven't met Tom Brady though, which is like, that's kind of the only guy I want to meet. So
his retirement ceremony's tonight, I think.
Tomorrow.
Okay. At
Gillette.
Are you going to that?
I am.
Okay. Did you get tickets for it?
Yeah, and the ticket market kind of fell apart. They were $100 for like general like people to just buy. All the tickets were the same price, and however they sold, like you could get them and you could pick your seats. But now since Game 3 is tomorrow, and they knew this, but you got to do it on 6/12 because Tom Brady, 6 rings mm-hmm. with the Pats, 12. I get it. Tickets are $19. To get into that event tomorrow.
Wow.
And you missed the first half of the Celtics game.
But you know, like that, like right outside the Gillette, what's that little spot?
Harps there.
Yeah, like that, where all those bars and everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, afterwards that's going to be jumping.
Yeah.
For the Celtics, that's going to be a cool spot to watch, honestly.
I probably won't watch it there just because then you're there till 11:30 and then I got to with 2-hour drive back.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to drive back during the game?
I think we're bringing a TV and just going to set it up in the parking lot and sit there. But like close to the exit and just go. Just
dip right.
Be ready to go. Beat the traffic.
You know what? They'll be up 20.
That's the thing. I'll check the halftime score and they'll be up 15, and I'll be like, all right, we're chilling. Hopefully.
What about any other like good or bad like interactions with guys like over the years?
At Terry Rozier, I was pretty cool with when he was on the Celtics, and I always thought that was kind of cool. That was back when I was going to every single game, and I have these passes there. You can meet players after the game for the away team's family. That was what they're actually for. And I got pretty tight with him, and that was always kind of cool because, like, sometimes pregame he'd come over and say what's up or something like that. And that's I know he was a big name when he was in Boston, but it's just cool with anyone, like any player to do that. It's like, oh, he's in the NBA and he's saying what's up to me.
Was it Green Runs Deep that brought him like the jersey and everything too, like the Bledsoe jersey and kind of?
Yeah, got that. I don't know if he brought the jersey. I'm not sure.
Somebody did though, right? Somebody brought it to him and like.
Yeah, and I know GRD was always tight with him too, and that's kind of how I met GRD. I met him in 2016, and we've been cool ever since. But
yeah, tell him to come on the pod for us, like right now.
Come on the pod. I'm friends of the podcast. You gotta come on the pod.
We've been trying to get him forever. So Corey, hope to have you on soon, pal. But yeah, Timmy, honestly, I was thinking, like, most of our followers probably know who you are for, you know, a variety of reasons, but you're a 2-time Stanley Cup champion.
Allegedly.
You know, the most famous trophy in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, the most storied history, the best trophy in sports, the hardest one to win.
Hands down.
And you've managed to lift it twice. I think Wags and I are just going to take a little seat back right here and let you tell your story.
Okay. From the beginning?
How did the idea, like, you know, what prompt? I've never once in my life thought, hey, I'm going to get onto the ice after the game and I'm going to lift the Stanley Cup above my head. I mean, maybe my brain just doesn't work like yours, but I've never, ever thought that. So
that's the thing. I didn't think that. That's the crazy thing. So basically, game 7 was at the Garden, and that's, you know, a good enough reason to go to the game. And I decided, like, I'm going to make fake media passes and see what happens. That's the thought I had. And so I make them up, and I'm thinking, probably like taking the train in or whatever, I'm thinking like it would be cool to like get some pictures of players after the game or get into the post game conference. Like, that was my initial goal. I didn't really consider anything else. So clock's winding down. Bruins are getting smoked. They lost the game 4-1, which obviously sucks for the city and sucks for a lot of the people I was with and all that. But I still had the passes, so I was like, let me just go down there and see what I can do. And if I get kicked out, I get kicked out. If I don't see anything or anyone, I don't, and I just leave. It's worth a shot.
How many passes did you have? Was it just you or all your boys as
so
well?
So I actually had a bunch, and then a lot of people kind of backed out. And then I actually had made one for someone we know, but I'm going to leave his name out for now just because I don't know if he would want that coming out right now. So especially with everything going on right now. So I go down, and there's a sign, and I think I have a picture of that sign somewhere in my Snapchat, and it was like, media credentials that way. And it was point to the left, and it was a big, like, rope, and a bunch of people lined up. So I just stood in line, and I didn't think anything of it. And I'm sitting there for like 20 minutes, and at that point, I hopped out of line, and I was about to leave, and then the line started moving. So I hopped back in line, and I'm like following these people, and everyone's got different credentials. All the same, but different, like, colors and different, like, letters on there. And so the line's going towards this guy, and this guy's pointing you different directions. So I get to the front, and he points me left. I take a left, and I'm on a red carpet walking out to the ice. Like, I have a video of that, too. And it's, like, the craziest thing ever. I'm like, so now I'm with all these media people, and they're all in suits and everything. And if you can see the picture, I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt. First of all, I don't belong down there at all. the only thing that made me look media at all is I had a camera around my neck, and it was my buddy's camera that I didn't know how to use. I just used it as a prop. So now I'm on the ice, and this is like the coolest thing ever. And I get completely forgotten about the game. I'm not really caring about much other than the fact that, you know, the St. Louis Blues are celebrating the Stanley Cup win, and I'm standing on the ice with them in shorts and a t-shirt with a camera on my neck that I don't know how to use. So I'm kind of doing random stuff. Like, I think I picked up a towel off the ground, like one of the Stanley Cup final towels. And I think we had a broken stick too. Yeah, we did. And then they're like passing the cup around. And I'm standing by these like families, which had to be like family members of teams and all that. And the players are passing around the cup. And I went up to one of the guys. I was like, hey, I'm his little brother. And I pointed essentially towards like a group of like random players, but it ended up being the backup goalie. And I have his jersey. Oh, I'm blanking on his name, but...
Did you look anything like him? Because you looked, not really. When you were on the ice, you looked exactly like you do right now.
Yeah, pretty similar. Just less beard, more hair. Less beard, less hair, actually. I'm just hairier now. I put my hands up, and then I had the cup now. So now I'm holding the cup, and the person I was with had my phone. I get my picture and everything, and then I was going to give it to the person I was with, because, like, you know, he wants a picture. Everyone wants a picture with the cup. We're on the ice with the winning team with the Stanley Cup. It's, you know, it's one of the coolest things ever. And Vladimir Tarasenko came up to us and was like, "You guys done with that?" And I looked at the guy I was with. I was like, because I'm blanking now. And he's like, yeah, we're done with it. And I was like, all right, yeah. Because I wanted him to get a picture. But at the same time, Vladimir Tarasenko.
Did you touch the cup before Tarasenko did?
No. That was their second lap around, sadly. That would have been impossible, actually, because they do the whole ceremony. Everyone gets it. So this had to be the second or third lap around. But, I mean, I passed the cup to Tarasenko. That's another, like, crazy, just random, you know, fact. And so that all happens, and then I eventually just, I'm like, dude, I got to get out of here. What the hell? Like, shortly after I held the cup, I was like, what am I doing now? Like, why am I still here? I was going to try to do the locker room, but I think after holding the cup and all that, and I think if I didn't touch the cup, I would have gone to the locker room. But I got my picture and everything like that. Like, I got to go. Better end this before, you know, it ends bad for me. So I get out. I go to the train. I'm taking the train home. And that now, like, and there's no one there now. And, like, I had put something on Snapchat, I think me on the ice, when I was in the TD Garden, and then it didn't post till I was out. So I got, like, mad people calling me, my brother's calling me and all that. And then I posted that picture, the cup picture, and then everything kind of blew out of proportion. And then the next day I made a video, and it went wicked viral, like, on TikTok. I think it got, like, 1 million views or something like that in a week. I don't know exactly what it was, but then, the rest is history there.
So what happened after that? Like, people reach out to you from the Garden, the NHL, like anything?
Yeah, so I had a lot of people, like, employees of the Garden and all that. Like, I don't want to say threatening me, but, like, telling me, like, oh, you're going to get in trouble and all that, blah, blah, blah. Nothing really came out of it. Like, I guess I was always worried to go back after that, to, like, go to anything, because I was, like,
you're a pretty recognizable kid.
Yeah. And I'm not going to, like, disguise myself or anything just for that. So there was a few times where a few employees talked to me and security talked to me, and they pulled me aside and tried to give me a hard time, but nothing really ever came.
You got to think about it, too. It's like there was definitely, like, that video. The TikTok blowing up after, like, didn't necessarily help your reputation. It was probably sick, like, for you, just like, yeah. Oh, this is cool.
I'm happy everyone got to see it.
Exactly. But, like, there was definitely some security meetings. Like, who the fuck let this kid on?
Well, and that's the issue. It's, like, a really bad look for them. And I get that. And they have to do something about that. Or
it's not your problem, though.
Yeah, no, again, like, it's like they let me on. If they kicked me out, I would have left. I wouldn't have given an issue. But they're the ones that let me on the ice. And essentially, if I go up to security guard and he points me onto the ice, in my book, I belong there. He pointed me there.
Yeah, I mean, you see it all the time, too, like, publicly. Like, there's that dude on YouTube.
Arak.
Yeah. And he got his start on YouTube because he knew that if he snuck into, I think it was, like, a Logan Paul or Jake Paul fight and, like, kept doing it to different events, like, people just want to see that. It's, like, the adrenaline that you get from doing that you can get secondhand from watching. That's why your TikTok did well. That's why, like, this is an interesting story. It's, like, people want to see what they probably could never even think to do, and like get the access that they would never have otherwise.
The crazy thing about that is when, I don't know, I think he might have had 50,000 subscribers. I had DM conversations with him about going to the next year's NHL finals. And then by the time we got there, he never really got back to me, which kind of sucks because that would have been cool because he blew up. He's huge now.
I just saw he has like 15 million subscribers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so. I think he had like a live video or something, and maybe I hopped in the live video, and then we chatted in on the live, and then we sent a couple DMs back and forth, and then nothing ever came of it, but I wanted to do it with him. I was like, yo, like, you don't got to do anything. Just come to where I tell you to go, and I'll meet you there. I'll give you the pass, and we'll run a video.
Was there any other, like, social media figures or media that was, like, kind of, like, cheering you on and, like, supportive through it all?
Yeah, Barstool was. They I think there was two articles about me they posted. And
what were the context of the articles, like?
I forget the initial one. The initial one was just about the video I posted. So they linked that to an article and kind of described the video. Nothing too much about me. And then when I eventually did it all again, they did one, and they were, because RA used to sneak, he snuck into the 2011 Stanley Cup and snuck in the locker room and got, I don't know if he got a picture with the cup, but I know he was in, no, he did get a picture with the cup. And they did some article, and there was like, RA has finally found his long lost son. There was something like that. And then like other media platforms like posted it, like I think Overtime posted it and Bleacher Report and a bunch of those, you know, general accounts posted it.
Was this publicity that you wanted, or were you kind of like every time it got posted, were you scared that was
going to get in trouble? Expect it. And then once my video went viral, I didn't really care. I was like, let everyone see it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to do?
I think too.
And then I was like, yeah, everyone, like, fuck it.
Let's. You get out of there too without like any confrontation. Like you're just like, it's seamless, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can kind of ask for, right? That's like, you know, nothing happened there. You overstepped, but you didn't go too far.
Yeah, it's not like I was doing anything bad or doing anything to any players or anything like that. That's the one thing. If at least in my opinion, if you're going to do something like that, just do it respectfully. And I never said anything bad about the Garden or anything like that. I just wanted to post the videos for other people to see because it was, you know, it was really cool.
Did you get any like media people too? Kind of like, I think like there's a big kind of notion in like now like sports media that reporters kind of don't know where to draw the line professionally with, like, you know, you have the most up close, like, crazy access as a news reporter, as a sports reporter. And a lot of people now in this time are kind of like taking advantage of that for their own good. And like, typically you learn as a reporter, like, you know, you can't cheer, you can't, like, no cheering from the press box is like the famous set, like, saying, where it's like, you got to be very like business as usual, which is like totally gone out the window now. Like, was anyone like old school or new school, like being like, okay, like you can't leverage a media pass in this way, like kind of coming at you like that?
No one really had an issue with the pass. I don't think. I had a bunch of people, including actual media people, reach out and say, how'd you make that pass? And how'd you, like, you know, get the designs, and how'd you print it and all that? And these were like, obviously random people were asking me so they could go and try it themselves. But a lot of media people were asking too. And they seemed like lower level media people that wouldn't get this access. And they were like maybe trying to, you know, make a pass in the future and use it to their advantage, which I don't mind. The most thing that people reached out about that were mad at me was, which I respect this. They were like, you don't touch the cup unless you want it. And my response was, you know, I'm never going to make the league. This is my version of winning it. I had to go do something to get it. So in my mind, I won the cup.
Fair enough.
I need an excuse, so that's the one.
Is that a big like hockey thing?
Yeah, it's an unspoken rule. You don't touch the cup unless you've won it.
Really?
Yep.
Even if it's like sitting down?
Nope.
Because I know like holding it over your head, that's like another thing too.
No,
right?
You don't even touch it.
Wow.
The guys who are in the NHL, they're like scared to touch it beforehand because then that's like bad juju for the rest of their career.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's like when they win the Eastern and Western Conference trophies, most teams don't touch that either. Panthers touched it last year. They didn't touch it this year.
Oh, in hockey.
Yeah, they went out of their way to not touch it this year.
Every other sport is so different.
Yeah.
Just so superstitious in hockey. But, yeah, so that happened in June 2019, was mm-hmm. it? June
5 years ago today.
Yeah. Wow, really?
You have this... 5 years ago tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
So, when this is coming out? The 12th?
12th.
Wow.
We'll drop, this tomorrow.
Yeah, it's dropping tomorrow.
So, unreal. So yeah, so you did that, you know, 5 years ago, today, tomorrow, yesterday, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And walk us through, like, the next year of you as a hockey fan and, like, how you were trying to, like, scheme to touch the cup again.
So, the next year was the COVID year, which they were doing bubble games, but then by the end of the year in the playoffs, they were doing... You couldn't get into Canada. Canada had all bubble games. But the U.S. had games with, I think it was, I don't know what percent, but it was 50 to 70% capacity. I'm sorry. The next year was all bubble. I'm thinking of a different year now. So the next year was all bubble games. So you couldn't go to any games. You couldn't, they were all bubble, any playoff games or all that. But keep in mind, I'm watching the Lightning. They're going on a run this year. And they go on a deep playoff run, and then I think they played Dallas in the bubble, yeah, and then they won the cup. And so I'm at home watching them win the cup, and I'm like, oh, well, let me just look into if anything's happening in Tampa. And sure enough, they were doing a double parade. It was a boat parade, and then at Raymond James Stadium where the Buccaneers play, they were doing a whole event. So I'm like, oh. Like, I didn't really think much of it. And then I woke up the next morning and I was like, I should try to go to Tampa. So me and a buddy, Jake, we go down, Lavelle. We end up going down. And so that I had, like, no money at the time. So I'm posting on social media, like, I'll go to Tampa if it gets crowdfunded and I'll bring back, like, whatever, newspapers, whatever, like that. And the thing was, I wasn't really trying to get the cup again. I was more or less thinking, like, making a video and all that and document all that. And so we ended up getting it was wicked quick, like 3 hours. We had flights and all that. And we fly to Tampa. And I remember the night before I was talking to my dad and my brother, and they were telling me, oh, you got to try to get the cup again. Like, you have to. I'm like, no, like, this is completely different. Like, this is a parade and all that. There's really no opportunity to. And then by the time the planes landed in Tampa, all I'm thinking about is, like, how am I going to get the cup again? Like, let's do it. So we land the day of the parade and everything, rent a car, go to the Airbnb, drop all our stuff off, and then go to the boat parade. Because the boat parade was during the day, and then the Raymond James Stadium, like, parade was, like, later in the day. So we go to the boat parade, and... sure enough, there's a guy with a media pass there. So I snap a picture of it, and then we leave the boat parade. We never even saw the boats.
Did you go up to him and, like, take a close-up picture? Or were you kind of, like, zooming in?
I got close enough to him, pretended to be on the phone, and then just took a picture with, like, clicking the side button. And then we didn't even wait for the parade. I was like, Jake, like, let's just go to Staples. So we go to – and I had my computer in the car. So I'm Photoshopping this pass in the car on the way to Staples, get to Staples, print the pass – and then we're on the way to Raymond James Stadium. This was, like, the biggest turnaround of all time. So we go to Raymond James. We got tickets. I forget. I think they were free. I think it was free admission. I'm not sure. And we go to the stadium event where all they're bringing the players there. They're doing a thing. And we're just sitting there, and I have no plan whatsoever. I'd never been there. I had no idea what the plan was or any ideas. Other than my initial thought was, I'll wait till after the event and try to get wherever the players are and then try there. And we're sitting in the seats for a while, and then I just got bored. I was like, all right, let me just try to go check things out. And I was looking for an elevator, and I was going elevator, and I was like, I finally saw some guy who worked there at an elevator. I was like, oh, how do I get to the press section? I just quickly flashed in my pass. He goes, oh, go down the elevator. It's like, okay, cool. So I go down the elevator, and then I'm in, like, the underground area by, like, the Bucks locker room, the away locker room, all that. And I'm walking around and taking laps, essentially. I have no idea where to go. And I took, like, a full lap, and then I asked some other people. I'm like, oh, where are the players? And he's like, let me see your credentials. And I had, like, a News Center 5 thing for the Tampa. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's this way. So they brought me to this room, and I walk in the room, and there's no players there. There's no people there other than, like buffet chefs. And there's, like, two guys, the keeper of the cup and the cup on a table. I'm like, there's no way this just happened. There's no way it's that easy. There's no way, like... But then I'm thinking, like, I can't just go and grab it. So I go and take a picture with it. I had some lady take a picture on my phone, and then I took a picture of her and her phone. That's usually how it goes with me. If you see someone taking a picture with anything, if you take the picture for them, they'll take one for you. So I have a picture with it now. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I have earbuds in. I didn't want to talk to anyone, so I pretended to be on the phone. I actually was on the phone. I was on the phone with my brother. And then this group of kids come over, and they're all grabbing the cup and, like, taking pictures of it and everything. I'm like, what the hell, in my head? And I'm like, hey, you want me to, like, take a picture of all you guys with it? And they're like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, how, like, what are you guys doing down there? Like, down here, like, what's your deal? And one of the kids is like, oh, I'm the owner's son. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like, that makes sense. So they can do whatever he wants with the cup. So I'm taking a picture of all of them. They put it back down. And then I'm like, hey, would you guys mind if you take a picture of me with it? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And they're all drunk and everything. I'm like, yeah, hyping it up and everything. And then I lifted up the cup again, took a couple pictures with it, put it back down. I was like, shit, I gotta go. So I went back the way I came in, found an elevator, found my buddy Jake, and then I was like, dude, you wanna just leave? And he's like, because he knows people at UTampa, and we didn't have much interest in being there. We didn't stay for the event. We just left. Like, all right, mission done. Let's just go get drunk at UTampa. And then I had to wake up the next morning and do a final in Tampa, and then I flew home. It's on the computer.
Dude, I remember, like, when you flew down there, and I remember when you first asked for, like, to crowdfund it,
mm-hmm.
because we were in the notorious group chat we probably shouldn't mm-hmm. be speaking of on here, but I remember you giving us, like, play-by-play updates, and you're like, just landed in Tampa, like, I'm going to the boat parade,
mm-hmm.
leaving boat parade, I have a picture of the media pass, like, you sent the picture of the media yeah. pass, and you're like, I'm going to Staples right now, and then I remember Jake had a picture of you, like, in the car, like, mm-hmm. messing with it.
Yeah,
and
with the
then,
computer.
we got play-by-play updates, and it was so cool, and then there was times where, like, you didn't answer for, like, a couple hours, and, like, oh, Timmy's in jail.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Because, like, you didn't answer for, like, a few hours, and the entire group chat was convinced.
Yeah.
Like, this was even before that, like, you, like, knew a lot of these
guys. Oh, I didn't know any of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just 4 years ago. So
this was before, because I met, like, Trevor and Oreg, like, that year, but later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know you guys existed.
But I remember getting the updates, and I'm like, okay, Timmy's in jail. Like, Timmy's fucked. Like, he's... But, so...
What did it feel like holding it up for the second time? Were you like, holy shit? Like, you were just kind of like, so I've been here before? Or like...
I called my parents. I was like, dude, I did it again. Like, this is... ridiculous. Like, I think I was kind of like panicking. I was like, I gotta get the hell out of here. But I just, that's twice in a row. Because the thing is, I always explained it the first time as what I did was literally impossible. It shouldn't have happened. There was a lot of luck involved. There was a lot of dumb things that happened that were involved. And there was a lot of people looking the other way that like happened. It all kind of perfectly blended it together. That should have never, ever happened. And like, literally impossible, shouldn't have happened. And then to just go do it again. Now, obviously, I'm not on the ice this time. This is definitely not as, you know, big of a thing. But to hold the cup over your head again randomly and being no business being there. I mean,
in a way, though, it's different because on the ice, they assume you're on the ice. You're someone.
Yeah.
To come into this room and to just like kind of like be on your own, it's a little bit more you're singled out.
And I think I got very lucky again because this was before the players got there. And they've been partying for, 3 days straight? So they would, like, I wouldn't want to be where the players were because then I probably definitely, like, would get asked questions. It was the perfect combination of getting there early enough and then getting a group of drunk kids and one of the dads on the team. It's, like, perfect scenario.
Well, also, like, the keeper of the cup should have been a little bit smarter.
Dude, I took a selfie with him.
Dude, you would think that he would know, like, oh, this is the
He's
kid.
He's got that, like, yeah. hair, like, crazy.
Yeah.
You would think, this is the kid that, you know, got a million views on TikTok, like, yeah. sneaking under the ice, like, touched it. Like, my one job is to, you know, keep this thing safe.
Yeah, keep
like,
it
what if you
him.
What if you fell when you put it above your head, you went back and you dented the whole thing on the ice? Like, this yeah, guy should have...
Has that ever phenomenal. Happened? Has the cup ever...
It's got messed yeah. up, yeah. I remember, I think when Detroit or New Jersey won it, there was a story where they had to take it to a car fabrication shop. To, like, buff it out.
You got a plunger and some hot water with something.
But that's funny. Yeah, that's the thing. When I had a mask on, so I think, because I remember just thinking
coping, yeah.
in my head, Because, yeah, because of COVID, I had a mask on. I remember thinking in my head,
Did you shave for this?
I did something dumb. I think I dyed my beard. No, I didn't. No, it's bright orange in the picture. No, I did nothing.
I don't know why. Maybe it was something else.
The next one, I did something. The next year when I got caught. But okay. I remember like thinking in my head, like, wouldn't it be funny as hell if I took a selfie with this guy? Because like this guy, but I had the mask on for whatever reason. I did it. I had a few drinks before that time because I was so nervous. I remember in the car, like in the parking lot before, just putting down a couple of drinks. I was like, someone's got to calm the nerves.
So do you post anything like that day after you take your final, or are you waiting till like you're back in Boston to post?
I think I posted it that night because it was done so early.
And what was the response to that?
It blew up. Like everyone, I remember everyone was reposting it. I think Arag put it on What's the Word. Like obviously my whole family, everyone from college, like everyone was reposting it. So it kind of really took on a lot of steam. And that one didn't do as well on TikTok. The video itself didn't do as well. And I'm pretty sure it's just because it's not as like cool of a scenario. But like it blew up again. And then, you know, Barstool picked it up and, a couple other companies reached out to me, and it was just really cool because how fast it got going. And I think part of that was because I was kind of posting throughout my day. I was like, oh, here I am at the parade, here I am here. And then I was like kind of being brutally like public about it. I was like, I'm gonna go try to get the cup, and then I got it, which will end up in the future biting me in the ass in the next time I went, because you shouldn't be posting everything while you're doing it. That's one thing I learned.
The Spittin' Chicklets, they reached out to you. That was at the first media outlet. They kind of recognized you did it for the second time.
Yeah, so they did an article after the first one and then did a more like in-depth thing after the second one. And I think they reposted my video too. They put it on Twitter and Instagram. I forgot about that. But I remember they like, however they saved it or cropped it, they did, whoever posted it did really bad, because they did like the video post but in the Instagram square format. So it cut off like all the words and everything. I was like, kind of, all right, whatever. But they reposted that. I don't know. Yeah, because so they make you sign something and all that to repost something, and then they did an article about it, and I didn't even find the article. Someone else sent it to me, and then a couple times they spoke about it on their podcast, and people would send me like the clips and all that, and that was pretty cool. And that's really cool because it's like, you know, they're the biggest hockey podcast out there, and you know, a lot of people listen to that, and it's just cool to kind of get some respect from them. That's really cool.
Has the NHL ever like reached out at up to this point and been like, hey, like, don't fucking do this?
So after that one, no. And then the following year, it was still kind of a bubble. In Canada, you couldn't get in to any game. And I'm watching this. So at this point, I'm all in. I'm like, I'm going to go get the cup again. 3 years in a row.
Oh, because you think it's so easy.
I have to. Yeah. I have this reputation I've built. And then Tampa's back in it. So that's the easiest thing in the world in my head. It's like, so I'm watching, and I remember game four, Tampa lost. So they're up 3-1 going back to Tampa. I can't get into Canada. They're playing the Canadians, so go to Tampa, right? So I go to Tampa. I get into the game, no issues at all. I had an issue with my Airbnb, though. I had to switch Airbnbs. I forget why. It was gross. Like, and I called Airbnb. They switched me up. It was good. So I go to the game. I'm wearing a full suit underneath a Tampa jersey because I didn't want to go into the game wearing a full suit. And I didn't know what color the passes were that year. I didn't find any pictures online. I usually just surf Twitter. So I have every single color of the rainbow patch. Pass underneath my button-down shirt. So whenever I saw the color, I would just put that up after the game. And I'm sitting in the balcony, not bothering anybody. And I have a couple of videos of this. I went down to get a drink. I think it was in between the first and second period. And I had police come up to me, and they were like, you know, they're asking me a bunch of questions. And they're like, you got to come with us for a second. And I'm like, what did I do? And they're like, we'll explain it to you later. You just got to come with us. I'm like, okay, yeah, like whatever. And I have one cop in front of me, one behind me. And they're asking me like, who are you? What's your name? Do you have your ID? And I just kept saying I was Eddie King, my brother. For another reason, this is just a longer story that I don't know if this should be online, but I had lost my ID, so I had Eddie's ID on me. So I was Eddie that day. And so I'm showing him Eddie, I'm Eddie, whatever. And they didn't really tell me why they were talking to me. So then they let me get my drink, and I go back to my seat. You know, nothing really happened. And then I went down to the Loge after that next period, because there was a billion empty seats, you know, because they didn't sell at the arena because of the COVID rules. So I'm thinking, let me just go grab a seat. I want to get close to the game. Then I don't have to, like, go all the way down there after anyway. And immediately, it was like they were watching me. I had, like, three police people and then one of the arena guys come up to me in my seat. And they're like, if you don't move right now and come up with us, we're going to kick you out. So I was like, okay, yeah, like, no worries at all. So I go up, and then they explain, you know, you're sitting in the balcony, you're going to sit up there the rest of the game. If you try to come down here again, we'll kick you out. And then once you leave your seat in the balcony, we're going to have two cops escort you out of the arena. And I was like, Jesus, like, what did I do? And they just wouldn't say anything. And so one of the people was from the NHL, and then three of them were cops.
So they wouldn't even acknowledge, like, why.
That's the thing. I at least wanted the credit.
You at least wanted the respect.
In my head, I'm like, at least give me the credit, and being like, we know what you're going to do. At least give me that. So I go back up to the balcony, no problem. And I watch the rest of the game, which is awesome. You get to see a Stanley Cup one and all that, which is electric. But it wasn't.
You're really, like, looking over your shoulder, and there's like four cops.
Yeah, dude. It's like they were down right by the entrance to the balcony. And it was crazy. Like, I have videos, like, them one in front of me, one behind me as I'm walking. So they do the whole cup ceremony and everything. And I get up eventually and start to leave. And just like they said, right when I left that balcony, like, little section, they brought me outside, and they're like, okay, have a nice night.
Eddie's on the move.
And then it was pouring out. My phone died, which ruined my night. Downpouring, phone's dead, don't know where my Airbnb is. Some, like, 17-year-old, I wave him down in a car, he pulls over. I was like, yo, if you drive me to my Airbnb, I'll give you $50, but my phone's dead, and I don't have cash, just trust me. And sure enough, he drove me there, and I paid him, and we were good. So thank God that kid stopped, because it was pouring out. And my night was, I was already mad, because, and then the whole next day, I was waiting for a parade announcement, and then they were like, oh, it's going to be in a day, and my flight home was already happening, so I gave up. I was like, you know what? I went down, I got caught. I mean, that's cool in itself.
But it wasn't that bad, though. You could have gotten caught much worse.
Right? Yeah, and it's cool in itself. Like, they were looking for me, which at least, that put a smile on my face.
That's like probably they had briefing meetings, like, with your face, with your videos. Like, if you see this person guy anywhere close to the cup.
I feel like it's almost cooler that they didn't give you the satisfaction for it. You know, they didn't, like, give you, like, hey, like, we've been looking for you. Because, like, you know it and they know it. But, like, it just kind of, like,
they don't want to give,
like,
it to me.
Unspoken, you know? But, wow. Like,
that's such a good story. Like, you're going to have that, like, forever.
Yeah.
Like, have you, like, thought about, like, anything you want to do with that story, or just, like, you just keep it, have the TikToks, like, just kind of
to come on Nikolov's podcast, Wax.
Well, besides that.
That was the first one. And then maybe I'll eventually down the line, once I'm done doing everything, like, if I ever do anything like that again, which I don't think I am, I think I'm probably done, unless something comes up. Like, I like baseball. I'd like to see a World Series. And if I have to make media passes and get on the field after that, would be cool. But I'm probably done for at least the next, you know, couple years. Just because it burns you out and it's a lot of stress. And I've already done a lot. I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to go and get caught somewhere or do something dumb.
It's also a little bit different when you're doing it when, like, you're an 18-year-old college kid. Mm-hmm. And then, like, now you're a 23-year-old adult.
Yeah.
So, like, you have a livelihood. You have a, mm-hmm. you know, a job. Like, you can't risk getting, you know, them throwing the book at you.
Yeah.
So.
And I've vaguely looked into it. I've talked to a few lawyers. There's not a ton they can do. But at the end of the day, it's not worth getting caught. And I had my fun. Like, I had a blast. So why ruin it by, you know, having a sour ending?
Yeah, in a way, like I just said, it's like it ended in the least harmless way, mm-hmm. where they were just like, all right, we're not going to let you do anything. Like, once you leave the game, like, now you kind of know people got their eye on you.
And, like, the other thing is, every year I have people hounding me, like, oh, can you make me a credential for this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And no, I wouldn't do it if I was doing it. Like, why am I going to, you know, risk anything for someone else? Like, obviously, like, and I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say that. It's like, you know, that was my thing. I did it for myself. I'd rather not start making fake media credentials for random people, because then you're in a whole different scenario.
It's a whole liability there. That's like,
and it's, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I did it all myself.
You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather not have any risk with anyone else. Yeah. And I get it every year, and I'm like, no, I'm done with that. I don't do that anymore. And every time, and people are like, come on, like, I'm like, no, that's it. I'm done.
It's funny. There's a book. It's right over there. It's one, like, probably my favorite book ever. It's called The Third Door. Mm-hmm. And it talks about this. It talks about, like, not this specifically, but it's like finding that third door in multiple ways, but like business or just life or different opportunities. Mm-hmm. Of like, the front way in is like GA. That's like how 99% of the people go in. Then, you know, there's that VIP entrance that, like, if you're a celebrity or you're a billionaire or you're an athlete or whatever.
The owner's son.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's your way in. But there's always some way to get in, you know, hop through a window in the kitchen and kind of make your way in and then just act like you belong. And there's always going to be, in any situation, that third door. And, like, you know, there's a ton of analogies in that book that go through everything from sports to business to TV shows to anything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, how I've operated a ton. Like, I think a lot of people, like, younger entrepreneurs or younger people that, like, are trying to do something cool that might even be listening, like, to this show, that, like, that's how they operate. And so, like, that's exactly, you know, how you've done it.
And the big thing with that all this has kind of done for me is I've met so many people through it, and I've made so many friends, and so many people I was already friends with, like, we got, like, even crazier stories with it, and now, like, we're closer because of it. And, like I said, the amount of people I've met and talked to and became friends with and all that is, that makes it all worth it. Because, like, I doubt I'd know either of you two if that didn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a part two to this someday, but we'll disclose some more.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's a lot more details, but like I said, there's no need to get into everything.
No.
That was a great story. That was really.
That's, like, probably one of the best. Like, we've had a lot of cool people on here, a lot of people who have, like, done, you know, very great things professionally. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably, like, the best storytelling we've had on here so far.
I appreciate
after posting
that.
For, you know, better part of a year.
That was awesome.
But, just one more thing. Like, Timmy, you're just, like, very spontaneous in general. Like, I mean, I want to talk about the time that you went to fucking Egypt for Travis Scott. Like, how did you go ride a camel? Like, talk about the thought process for that.
I mean,
cause that's also Jake, you know?
Yeah. So. Jake and Mike, good friends of mine. And Mike's just as spontaneous. So is Jake. Mike actually used to go to a lot of the games with me, back in the day. And like I said, Jake went to Tampa with me. So shout out them too. But, like, I don't know, one random week in August, Travis Scott decides to tell everyone he's going to release his album. And I've always been a huge Travis Scott fan.
This was last summer.
Yeah, right? Last summer. And I've been to a billion shows on the Astroworld tour, and I've been to festivals that he headlined and all that. And then he finally announces he's going to release a new album. And he's going to release it. The first watch party he's going to have is going to be in Egypt at the pyramids. So, like, the initial thought on that is, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. But that's cool. I'm there for it. And that was my initial one. And then I forget if it was Mike or Jake, but I don't know if one of them just bought tickets, and I don't know if it was to resell or what the exact idea was. And then he found out you couldn't resell them. And they were cheap. They were like $100, but you couldn't resell them. And then instead of, like, taking his loss or whatever, he looked into going to Egypt. And at that point they tell me, I'm like, I don't know about that. That's ridiculous. This is a week away. And it's not like going to Florida or going to even California. You're going to Egypt. That's, like, ridiculous. And then I slept on it for like 3 days and woke up and I was like, oh, if they go to Egypt and I don't, I'm going to be very mad at myself. So I start looking into it. And what you find out when you look into Egypt, at least, is, you know, things like hotel, food, Ubers, everything like that is pennies on the dollar. A 45-minute Uber in Egypt was $5. Hotel for three beds in a wicked nice hotel, in the second nicest hotel in Egypt, or at least where we, our area, which was Cairo, second nicest hotel was $35 a night for three beds total. And it's like, okay, like, hold on, let me really look at this. So I didn't have a ticket to the event. And I'm scrolling through Instagram. One of my buddies who I met through going to a ton of Travis shows had an extra ticket. I was like, dude, yeah, I'll buy it off you. If I go, I'll let you know. And we finally, you know, we're looking into everything and we got everything booked, and then we booked flights. Flights weren't bad. It was like $800 round trip and you get to stop in Italy for a bit. So we go, and then it gets canceled. So they were in Egypt before me, Mike and Jake. They were in, I forget, a different part of Egypt. And then they came to, Cairo, when I landed. So I land and the show's canceled. Found out right when I landed, 5 minutes after maybe. And then there's rumors on Twitter like, oh, it's not canceled. They're just saying that. And it's in 2 days. So we get to the hotel and we're in Egypt. Like, and I have a rooftop pool and a view of the pyramids and it's the coolest thing ever. And then the next day we decide, like, we get a guy for $45. We get him the whole day. He drives us around. He takes us to the pyramids. He takes us to the Sphinx. He takes us to a bunch of the shops. And then on a cruise of the Nile River. And we do all that. And it was the coolest thing ever. Like, that was an experience I would never do if I didn't just randomly try to go to this Travis Scott concert. And we get back to the hotel. We meet all these other guys from Italy, London, Australia, all over the place. And they're all our age. And we're all, like, kind of chopping it up. And the guy we were with all day took us to, an underground liquor store because liquor's not, like, allowed there. And we got a bunch of bottles of tequila and rum, and we bring that, and we share it with everyone. So everyone's like getting a little drunk, kind of meeting each other, and everyone spoke broken English, so it worked. And the show ended up getting canceled. It never happened. And eventually, like, and we met all these people. We hung out with them for the next 2 days, and it was awesome because these coolest thing ever. Like, these people are from all over the place, and we're all, like, kind of getting along for no reason. So we eventually flew back, did 24 hours in Italy. Three of us, six pizzas, six bottles of wine, in, I think, 12 hours. And it was an overnight thing, so it was, like, 3 in the morning. We're at some random bar drinking a bottle of wine. And then we eventually flew home. To wrap this all up, this story at least, one of the guys we met in Egypt from Italy, his name's Ricky. He spoke very, very broken English. He's coming to New York in July, and we convinced him to get a train to Boston for a weekend. And he's like, okay, I'm in. So we got Ricky in Boston now.
Hell yeah.
From Italy?
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah,
sick.
That's awesome. So just to kind of, like, wrap this all up, Timmy, like, what do you want to tell people, like, you know, kind of on a more mature note, just kind of, like, I don't know if you just want to say, just fucking do it, just buy the ticket, just, you know, trust your gut, have fun, make memories, but, you know, you've done a lot of cool shit. What can somebody learn from you?
I guess at the end of the day, it's like, don't, like, prevent yourself from experiencing anything. Like, when it comes down to, like, you'd rather stay home for a weekend or go out, even as small as you'd rather stay in for a night or go out with a group of friends. You know, if you're young and healthy, go out with a group of friends. And if, you know, you get invited on a trip and it's an affordable thing, but it's out of your comfort zone, just do it. I would have never gone to Egypt a day in my life, but it just so happened it stumbled upon me, and I was like, all right. And it was the coolest trip I ever been on. And, like, the stuff with, you know, sneaking in, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to sneak into stuff, but never, like, be afraid to do something that makes you uncomfortable, because it could end up to be something really cool. Whether that's even going to a game, like, or anything, talking to someone, whatever that is, just do it.
It's always a story, and it always, like, your life is, like, shaped from those moments too. Mm-hmm. Like, you learn a lot from the good and the bad, and you just learn.
Because that's the thing. Even if it goes bad, even if you don't enjoy it, at least you know you don't enjoy it. You know, exactly. You got to learn somehow. So you got to do something to learn.
Yeah,
that's for the big thing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Timmy. That was a great episode. That was a lot of fun to hear your story. 657 PM. Shut.
Timmy got her.
Yeah.
All right. Two-time. Maybe you'll get a third one day.
Maybe one day.
Maybe he'll win a World Series or something, too.
Yeah.
That would be cool. World Series would be nice.
You got to get a
UFC
belt.
Belt
would be... Oh, that would be pretty cool. Get your hand raised.
That would be awesome. That would be really cool. So,
thank you.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Sure.
That was a good one.